Thank you, Richard. You've done really well to get us all together and feel the way we feel, and help to share that with us. I thought, as I sat there going through the worship service to say that this particular time and the way that we respond to it is normal for a healthy church family, and that any one of you could be the one that passed away last night if the word got out, and would be right here thinking about you and how important it is as a church, and we're just reminded how really much of a family we are. We know the church isn't some kind of a religious country club, that it really is a family, and we've lost a really precious woman that we all knew, and her place is marked, if you would look over there. And I always think of Wally when I thought about, what if we to get us all together like we're doing today, what if we moved everybody back and rope that off, and then James said, well, that would be fine as long as you let Wally sit on the, whatever the new back row is. But, such a special, special woman, and, quiet, you know, seemed like she was shy, but she wasn't shy. If you got up close to her and spent some time with her, she had a good sense of humor, and also just, she just had a big heart, and we could go on and talk, and we will. I know we already have, some of us, and afterwards, some of you may get together and talk about Wally, and do you think about all the vegetation that she's beautified, and how many people around have talked about that, and went over to his house this morning and saw Danny there, and James is doing all right. He's going through what God has given us. That is that little bit of a shock feeling where you're taking care of business first, you know, and yet at the same time, boy, it was, you could tell it really had touched him. And so let's keep him in our prayers. So I'm not really going to preach. And he called it a sermon, but won't really sermonize, but I do want to share some thoughts with you from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. Just briefly here, the scripture says, a good name is better than fine perfume. Well, that's a good thought by itself, but he goes on and he says, and the day of death better than the day of birth. And we know that that's in the Bible. We know there's other places the Bible tells us to God, our death is more important to him than our birth. And I think we can all figure out why, because until we're actually in the face-to-face with God, there's a little bit of distance. And even though he's always there with us and close, there's not that back and forth communication that he would have with us. And so he cannot wait for all of us at some time in our life to end this life and to be in his presence. It, just as you would if your children had been away and many, many, many years had passed and then suddenly, you know, they've been over in Europe or something and suddenly they're coming home, you know, and you just can't wait, you know, to see them face to face. You've gotten postcards and maybe talk to them on the phone, but you're actually going to see them. And so, God has been, and I think he would say so, blessed today with Wally coming into his presence. And she's been blessed. And of course, you know, we would all want to stay as long as we can here on this earth and before we pass on because of our loved ones around us. But ultimately, the day of our death will be a good thing. He says in the next verse, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And that makes sense too. We would rather party, you know, we'd rather have a good time. We would rather get together with our family and have all kinds of laughter and those kinds of things going on. But sometimes when we go to the house of mourning, it causes us, does it not? It causes us to think about that person even more deeply and with the more emotions that we do on a daily basis. If we're just having a good time, there's that friendship feeling, there's that family love feeling if it's with our family. But when someone has passed away, they suddenly become, you know, in our thoughts, we think of them much more, deeper, much deeper. And so perhaps that's what he is saying here. His explanation is because death is the destiny for everyone, you know. It's the final stop. If we're on our life is like a spiritual train, it's the final stop, and it's our destiny. And the text goes on to say, and the living should take this to heart. Perhaps another thing of the passing of anybody, and when we get into these memorial services, we've all surely gone to one, it is a time for us to mourn, but also to remind us that, you know, that'll be us someday, and to be aware of that. And yet, you know, last week we talked about Jesus being the Son of Man. Do you remember that? I mean, I know I forget sometimes even what I preached on the week before, but Jesus as the Son of Man, it was essential that he become man, one of us, so that he could share life with us and understand what we go through in life and understand even the temptations, because he was tempted, had temptations like we have, even though without sin. But he understands that. But beyond that, the more important, or the also equally maybe important, is that he died for us so that, just like us, he experienced what we have to experience too because of sin entering the world. And even though Jesus wiped away sin on the cross, that didn't automatically transfer to us to then be able to live forever without ever dying. We all have to go through that, and death will only be defeated when Jesus comes again and we all rise from the dead, and then death is gone, it's defeated, and that's what it takes from the Son of Man, from Jesus. Now, I'd like to share just a few more thoughts that I found. These aren't mine, but they're very good, and that the Bible talks to us about grief and mourning and shows that God, of course, surely understands us. And first is just simply the expression of grief. The Bible doesn't shy away from the fact that we have grief, and that grief is a reality. And we have in the book of Psalms, as you know, some of those are called laments. And there's even one book of the Bible that's called Lamentations, where people are lamenting. And they're lamenting the loss of their land and of Jerusalem. But in other places, in the book of Psalms, the laments have to do with the loss of a loved one. Think about David and the loss of his child with Bathsheba, but also the loss of Absalom. Your Absalom had done everything bad he could against his father to take command, and he lost his life, and when David heard about it, I mean, he just wept, you know, the loss of his son. And so the Bible gives us that, and how grief is just really part of it. But there's also comfort in our mourning. It's one of the central promises. Doesn't the Bible say, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted? And so there is, even with mourning, there is comfort that we have from God, but from our family and from our, of course, our church family. And another thought here is that beyond any grief and any loss that we have, there's hope. What are the three great things the Bible talks about? Faith, hope and love. We all have hope. And in times like this, you know, you feel a lot of mourning and sadness for Wally and really for James as well. But there's hope. She's home, you know, right now. And went to bed last night not knowing what was going to happen to her. And James said he got up in the middle of the night around 4 or 5 o'clock and just her door was open. He didn't expect that. And so he went in and she wasn't in the bed. And so he went and kind of searched the house. He didn't find her. And so he went back and he found her between the bed and the wall as she had fallen and had evidently had passed away some time before. And, you know, we all know she had a weak heart. She had a pacemaker and there was always that fear of that. But, you know, it, sometimes things just happen to us suddenly and there's, not a lot we can do about it. And she went to bed not even thinking about that this, something like that might happen, but we all know she was prepared. We have, of course, as we've already mentioned, the support we have from each other. We encourage one another. Don't know when we'll see James again, what their plans are, but, whenever you can, of course, reach out to him and comfort him as your brother in Christ. And, you know, he's got a good, deep faith and he knows where Wally is and he has expressed that, but you know, of course the loss is still there. And so he needs that encouragement and that, and you know, that love that we might share with him. So, we'll just stop with that and let's get out our songbooks and we'll sing this song. We'll call it an invitation song. If you do have a need, we do want to be here for you. Just come on forward and let me know and we'll help you out if we can. So let's all stand and let's sing this song.